Our scripture lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend from those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
When my children were young, we heated with wood, or at least supplemented our heating system with wood. And so it took a lot of wood. And so we would spend most of the summer cutting wood and chopping it and stacking it up in the wood pile. And it was an all-family kind of a chore that we did. And so the kids, at the beginning of the summer, it was fun. You know, we'd get out there and all do it as a family. And, you know, the next time it was okay. And, you know, about the third time it was, do we have to go cut wood? Because Georgia heat is not fun to cut wood. And Georgia has snakes and ticks and all those things in the woods. And so it began to be less and less fun and more of a chore as the summer went on. And so over and over we would hear, do we have to go cut wood? Or it would be, oh, let's go cut wood, and about the third load, we want to go in. So it was this idea of, do I have to do it? And of course there's all things that, you know, we hear from our children all the time about, do I have to wash the dishes? Do I have to do this or that? But in all truth, don't we all kind of do that? Do I have to do that? That's my coworker's job. Is it really my job to look after this? Or I did that when I was younger. Do I have to do it now that I'm older? There's so many ways in which I think even adults look at things and say, really? Do I have to? And how much work would we really do without pay? But then we think, well, we volunteer. So those that volunteer in many ways, they're not being paid. And they're often more willing to do all of the work, no matter what's asked. But really, if we're honest, how many things do we do without some kind of reward? Someone saying, oh, thank you for a good job, or the satisfaction of doing something for someone that really needs to have it done. Even our volunteer work, kind of we want to have a little something for it. Well, or maybe I should say I, and rather than you, maybe you don't. But then I got to thinking, in this chapter that's talking about radical love, we tend to give canned goods and things to the hungry and clothing to the poor. But would we continue to do it if every time we put the can in the box, we got shocked? Would we really continue to do good even if it hurt when we did it? Well, I think in this chapter, beginning with last week and moving on through this week and on, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, or the Sermon on the Plain in Luke, we talked about that last week. They're same sermon, remembered different by two different apostles, but it's a very long sermon. It's the only sermon in full that's recorded in the Bible that Jesus spoke, and so it goes on, chapters 5, 6, and on. But Jesus' response in here, I mean, Jesus is asking for another response other than what we would typically come out with, a response other than, do I have to? No, that's not my job. Well, the Beatitudes, starting in chapter 5, if I can find my spot. I'm sorry, 6, I have it down wrong. Chapter 6, the Beatitudes, starting in verse 20, says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And we talked about this last week. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you. You see, he's taught, and then he goes on to say, woe to those who are rich, and woe to those who are full, and woe to those who are laughing. But then he goes from that into, but turn the other cheek. Which, and if someone wants or takes your cloak, give them more. So it's like two different things that Jesus seems to be telling us. Or is Jesus telling us this within the same framework of the blessed are those who are poor? See, Jesus' life, his entire life theme was hard. It was hard stuff. Hard stuff for us to understand or to do and continue to do. Jesus in verse 27 said, love your enemies and those that hate you. And so he's telling us about this radical love, but then saying, as we have to remind ourselves, blessed are those who are poor and hungry. Keep those in mind as we continue to go through. And then in verse 28, he says, blessed are those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And the word abuse in there can mean insult or revile. And so there again, Jesus is pushing us a little farther to love those who insult you. And I think about today's political scene and how our society seems to be able to feel it's okay to say things to others that hurt and that are insulting. The sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that really true? But Jesus says that we are to love those who curse us. Pray for those who insult us. You see, I think what Jesus is doing, if we think keep the Beatitudes in the back of our mind, Jesus is illustrating that our responses need to come out of somewhere different. Our responses in life need to come from a different place. In verse 31, he says, do to others as you would have them do to you. So our responses, turning the other cheek, taking our cloak, if someone takes our cloak, giving them our shirt, giving to beggars, these are a different way to respond other than what we're used to. Last week, we talked about the differences between the Matthew version and the Luke version. And Matthew makes it poor in spirit rather than the poor. And Matthew makes it more of a spiritual kind of a a piece to the sermon where Luke makes it more pragmatic. The poor are blessed, but with Matthew becoming more righteous, maybe becoming more poor in spirit, are what he felt Jesus was saying. But in this little section, after the blesseds are, the Beatitudes, they are very similar. Matthew says the same thing that Luke said. He says to turn the other cheek, to give the cloak, but then he also says, go the extra mile. And I think that sums up this section. Go the extra mile. Positive actions rather than negative reactions when things hurt, when things are wrong. But I think that this is more than just killing others with kindness. I think, as I said before, sometimes we say that we're pure in heart and we're giving out of love, but really, are we expecting a reward? And I think sometimes that we can give to others and we can turn that other cheek, but we're really just trying to get our way. I think also it's not taking the moral high road. You know, well, I'm just not going to go to their level, and I'm going to teach them a different way, even though that might be a good thing. I think it's not shaming our opponent and being more righteous. I think that Jesus is calling us to do unto others as we would have them do to us in a more loving, honest, deep response. It's following God's pattern in the world. God loves us. God has mercy for us. God forgives us. And then God gives us generously. Maybe not in rewards in this earth, and it may not feel like we've got generous things, but we look into the world and we see how much God gives us. That generosity of God, no matter what goes on in life. God, and in the Bible we have many stories about God's generosity. We come to the prodigal son, where the prodigal son was going off and doing things that he shouldn't be doing, spending the father's money. But yet it shows in the father, in the story of the prodigal son, we see God's response too. When the father said, come back home, I will love you. With that radical love, that generosity. Same thing with the story of Jonah and Nineveh, where Jonah ran away from Nineveh. Nineveh was this bad city, but God said, no, Jonah, go back. Speak to them. Give them another chance. That love, that mercy, forgiveness, and the generosity of God. But then I worry when we read these verses about turning the other cheek, especially. When my son was a little fella, the school called and they said, you need to come pick up Justin. I think he may have a broken nose. Apparently, the bully in the class hit him when they were in the bathroom and they thought he broke his nose. And so we were driving to the doctor and I said, well, Justin, what did you do when that little boy hit you? And Justin said, well, I played dead. And, you know, I worry about when we read turning the other cheek, if we're saying, and of course, that was probably the best thing for him to do. But I wonder if it's saying, if to some we're saying it's okay to be abused. It's okay to, if somebody abuses you, just turn the other cheek. It's especially worrisome today when we've got news about the Catholic Church and the abuse going on there. And we need to remind ourselves it also goes on in the Protestant Church as well. But is Jesus saying here, when you're abused, it's okay to turn the other cheek? I don't think so. I think that if we go back to the Beatitudes, to the blessedness, I think that we need to remember that Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are poor, and woe to those who are hurting the poor. Blessed are those who are hungry, and woe to those who have enough to eat and are not sharing it. And so if we keep that in mind and we say, turn the other cheek, I think what Jesus is saying is, no, don't allow yourself to be abused, but give back that radical love. It's kind of like the story that I read to the kids this morning. It's when Grumpy Kangaroo is grumpy and angry, we can react with that anger, which is so easy to do for many of us, or we can react with that radical love. I'm going to love you despite what may be happening. It's not necessarily submission, but it's radical love. It's God's pattern: loving, mercy, forgiveness, and generosity, even to the abuser. It's also expecting nothing in return. It says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? It's easy for us to love those that love us. If you do good to those who do, what credit is it? It's easy to love those who are giving us our fuzzy good feeling. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that? That's easy to do. Even sinners do that. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. That's putting the can of soup in the box, even if we're going to get shocked. It's that radical love. And it's interesting that in here, Jesus does not say, if someone is good to you, love them. If things are going well, do this. It's do it, even if they've abused you or hurt you. Love them. Don't allow them to abuse you, but love them with that radical giving love. Go that extra mile. Let's bow for just a moment of meditation and prayer. O God of love, teach us to truly live in your love. Amen.